Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Emmanuel this morning, whether you're here in person or you're listening to the service via the website in a few days' time. It's good to see you here. If there are any visitors, please make sure that you make yourselves known to us after the service. And I guess a particularly warm welcome this morning to Eva and Michelle, who are here to be baptized. Wonderful occasion, and we look forward, we hope you enjoy it. The Bible reading this morning will be read by Pam Western, and if you wish to follow it, you'll find it on page 79 of the Bible in the pews. Future notices, as far as I'm aware, are all correctly set out in weekly news, so please make sure you read that. I just want to particularly emphasise the Agape service at Bath Road this coming Thursday, Maundy Thursday, where everyone is very welcome to come along, but they would like to know about numbers in advance. So if you'd like to go to Bath Road on Thursday, please have a word with Robert before you leave this morning. I will now light the Christ candle to give us just a few minutes' pause before the service begins.
The Reformed tradition only has two sacraments, baptism and communion, and it's not often that we have both on the same day. You see, if we were Roman Catholic and we had seven, that would be a long service, but the Reformed tradition only gives us two. The psalm for today, Psalm 118, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness shall enter through it. And we celebrate that reality. Our first hymn from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 141, and while I were singing this hymn, I will light the peace candle. Please be seated. We are mostly used to, in the later years of our church, for infant baptism. And I would begin by saying the parents bring their children and present them, and I will ask the parents the questions. Michelle and Eve were presented at their childhood, and today they will be baptized. So the parents will be looking on, but not being asked the questions. And I promised them I would not parade them up and down the aisle in my arms, because they are bigger than I am, and said with all respect, and it's most inappropriate for me to do it. But it is still that deep feeling of a before and after. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You will look the same, you will talk the same, you will laugh the same, you will be irritated the same way as you were by other things, but there will be something that is different. And what we are here today is to open that door, so that that difference may be known to you, to your family, to the congregation, and to the Church of God. That's fine. Would you like to both come? Michelle, yes, sorry. I don't know why I started here. And Eva, you. You know the questions I'm going to ask because we talked about them the other day. Do you believe and trust in one God, Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, redeemer of the world? Do you repent of your sins, turn away from evil, and turn to Christ? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? I do. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. In your goodness, you give us water to sustain our life and renew the earth. May it be for Michelle and Eva the water of a new birth. Blessed be God forever. Michelle, would you like to come forward? Ochanya is the way to pronounce it. There we are. Michelle Ochanya, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eva. Oh, sorry. Agbenu. There we are. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Michelle and Eva, may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you now and remain with you always. You are God's children. You have always been God's children. But through baptism, you enter the community of faith, which will sustain you, guide you, and help you. And may you be an active part of the community of faith wherever you are for the rest of your days. Amen. Amen. To the congregation, to you all, this happens in a community. This happens during Sunday worship. And as a community of faith, representing the whole wide church, the world around, do you welcome Michelle and Eva and promise to share with them what you yourselves have received, the gift of God's love revealed in Christ. If you agree, please say, I do.
I do.
There we are. That's recorded, so you have a witness there. We light the candle from the Christ candle. And this candle represents light. And this light is given to you so that you may shine. You can blow it out afterwards. Yes, Michelle and Eve. God bless you and thank you so much. To Mum and Dad and to the brother sitting at the back. It's a joy for you all, I'm sure. You can sit down. Thank you. And we will now sing the baptismal hymn, the hymn after the baptism, 523 from Rejoice and Sing. Yeah, you can keep that. Not at all. Give me joy in my heart, I sing. Ba-ba. Give me joy in my heart.
Thank you.
sounded as if you all enjoyed it. I'd invite you to join in a time of prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, dear God. We thank you for the joy that comes from being part of your family. We thank you for the joy of being able to welcome two people into the family of your children everywhere. We thank you that later on in the service we'll be able to share the bread and the cup. We thank you. We thank you that today we remember Jesus entering Jerusalem. And in this Holy Week, with all the things that will be happening, we thank you for the possibility of being your children, witnesses to your love. We thank you that we aren't alone. We thank you for new opportunities, for your forgiving love, for joy and hope, and that you are walking with us every inch of the way. We thank you that you know us by name. And we thank you that even when tough times come as they do, you are with us still then. O Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we forget how close you really are. Forgive us when despair takes over, as it sometimes does. Forgive us when we don't do what you expect us to do and that we should be able to do. Forgive us when in what we see in the world, we don't know what way to follow and forget to ask you for guidance. Forgive us when we don't believe that our witness, because it is a feeble light, would make no difference. And yet, with the light of each of us coming together, as we lit the peace candle, as we light the Christ candle, as we light the amnesty candle, light gets brighter. In your grace and in your love, heal us, restore us, forgive us, make us new, that we may rejoice as your children. On the road to Jerusalem, Jesus, you have spoken again and again and again of your end and the new beginning to disciples who do not or will not understand. Today we remember that you entered the city and you summon all who would follow you to wait and watch with you. Help us to enter into the intensity of the week ahead of us, that we may truly wait and watch with you as all is revealed, all is changed. Before the revealing of love's way, love's cost, love's victory, and love's glory, may our lives be changed and reborn also. And we say together the words that you taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now lead us in the anthem, O Saviour of the World.
The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, and is on page 79. After he had said this, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come to Bethphage and Bethany, at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, The Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rose along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully and with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pam, very much. And after hearing the reading, we sing hymn 200, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy, for Jesus restores what sin would destroy." May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Two scenes are happening at the same time in Jerusalem, and yet they are so totally different. The Bible tells us of one, history tells us of another. And those of who were at the Lent talk on Wednesday will know where I'm heading with this. It is about our choices. what we will do, what we will say, and how we will do it. Particularly on a Sunday like today, when we have celebrated two baptisms and we're about to celebrate communion, where we will receive the bread and the cup. The question then is, what does what is going on today in Emmanuel mean for the times we are living and how we will live? The entry to Jerusalem of Jesus that we just heard in the reading could just be a blip in history. If it weren't, that it's in the Bible. And that makes it somewhat different for us all to understand. On the other side of town, on the opposite gate, there is something else going on. Pontius Pilate was entering Jerusalem, coming from the coast, 600 soldiers accompanying him, horses, armor, banners, flags, a noisy group of musicians and people singing the standard bearing the golden eagle that represents the symbol of Rome's authority, and drums. The music that was happening in Jerusalem during Passover was there for a reason. Why did Pontius Pilate come to Jerusalem? Well, the truth of the matter is that filling up Jerusalem with pilgrims who were remembering the outing of slavery from Egypt, the first Passover, was a time of rebellion. And if there's one thing the Jews were known about in the Roman Empire, was that they were a somewhat rebellious group of people. So, Rome would send instructions that the Roman authority had to be present. Rome wanted Israel to be in no doubt of who was in charge of the city. I was quite interested to see an article in today's readings this morning that somebody was saying, particularly to the horror of others, Passover is not a Christian celebration. No, it's a Christian remembrance, but it began, remember, the night before they left Egypt, after years of slavery, and they were set free to go to Promised Land. It has a history of rebellion. It has a history of questioning authority. Try and imagine the cheers. Was one trying to outdo the other? Did they meet in the middle of Jerusalem? The noisy ones on one side, the noisy ones on another side. We've just sung about it. Hosanna, Savior of the world, make way. Our hymns today have talked about that noise, that sound, that music. But it's not sung for Pontius Pilate. It's referring to Jesus. But remember, to all the Roman Empire, Caesar was the Prince of Peace. And much as it may sound blasphemous, Caesar was the Son of God. So the language was similar. The significance was different. Pontius Pilate was the representative of the God. And then came Jesus down from the Mount of Olives on a donkey that wasn't even his. Donkey seen as an agricultural tool, not a war instrument. You could not have had two different images if you'd chosen to. And what Jesus was saying is, I am the King of Peace. The triumphant entry, as related to in the Gospels, is a parody of Pilate's entry. It's mocking it. And Jesus and Luke wants the first followers to be aware of this. Because Pilate will not be mentioned until further on in the week when he uses that Roman power against Jesus. And it's not an accident. So today, on our Palm Sunday, we follow in a long line of rebellion, of protests against the abuse of power. Jesus' disciples will claim in their ministry and what follows in what we now call the Christian Church, the claim to true power and true authority sits with peace. And it is crucial that at this time we remember it. Yes, I know that in the imagery we have of Palm Sunday, it's the donkey, it's the robes being put on the road, it's the palms. Yes, but it's much deeper than that. Because it continues to be a challenge to us today. Why do we light a peace candle? Why have we been doing it for 3 years? Why? Why do we begin the service after the announcement lighting the Christ candle? Why? What are we saying when we do that? If I say Palestine, you know what I'm talking about. If I say Ukraine, you know what I'm talking about. If I mention Syria, you know what I'm talking about. Earthquakes in Myanmar, Thailand. If I simply say China versus the United States of America, you know what I'm talking about. If I mention drought and floods, hunger, malnutrition, if, like I read in the newspaper this morning, I see emergency centers, the only last hospital in Gaza, blown through the air, you know what I'm talking about. Is that the power for which Jesus came into Jerusalem? That is the power of death, making itself mighty in today's world. And the reality is that there are always two parades going on, even if we're not in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Does it matter? If it's always been the case, what's the difference? It's another Palm Sunday. We know what we're doing. Well, it does matter. Because if there are always two parades, we have to decide which one we will join. Which Hosanna we will sing? To whom will we rejoice after? And how do we do that? Well, for example, when we choose to forgive or not forgive, we're choosing a path. When we choose how we will use our money, we're choosing a path. When we choose where our energy is going to go, or how we will love, or whom we will love, and whom we will reject, we are choosing a way. When we choose not to speak in the face of injustice, or are quiet, we are choosing. As you've heard me say many a time, not to choose is to choose. Or, as we're reminded this week, on Facebook at least a dozen times, to be quiet in the face of evil is to have chosen the oppressor's side. That's happening on Palm Sunday, of then and of today. So what are the words we choose to say? Which Hosanna will we sing? What options will we make? As I mentioned just now, I think it's clear where Emmanuel stands. I'm not talking of other churches today because I am not the minister of other churches today. We begin by lighting the Christ candle and taking a quiet moment to put our thoughts on Christ. We are making an option. We chose to light the peace candle, faced with all the violence there is in the world. We have made a choice. Why do we have a World Concerns Committee? Why? And as you can see in the weekly news today, the DEC thanked us for the donation we sent for the Myanmar disaster. Why do we do that? Does it make any sense? Why have we been lighting the amnesty candle? Do we really care about political prisoners? Do we care about what amnesty does? Or is it just a nice thing to do? Palm Sunday reminds us of what we should say and how we should say it. And it should not only happen in here. When we leave here, it should be seen. As somebody said, be the reason that those who choose not to believe in Jesus will want to believe in Jesus. Amen. Lord of the swaying palms, the stones of the earth and the beasts of burden bear witness to your coming. Lead us from the violence of empire and the collusion of crowds to a heart of flesh, a world remade, and a new song for all creation, through Jesus, the crucified God. Amen. Hymn 499, Have Faith in God. Now, just in case anybody thinks I have forgotten the offering, I haven't forgotten the offering. I've just changed its place in the order of service for today. We will now receive what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering.
you.
As we receive, we have been able to set apart for the offering in the plate and in the different ways we can give. May the offering in all its forms may be blessed, O Lord, and guide those who have to decide how it will be used, so that your name may be glorified and the world may discover better ways of living. Amen. Amen. We share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I haven't forgotten, but at the time of the offering, we offer you the flowers. Don't get jealous, you got flowers the other day. Let us join in prayer of intercession. Jesus, your teachings, your life, your ministry leads us to open up to others, to pray for others. And the wonderful thing of this is that in the family of your people gathered for worship today, we all pray for each other, because we are all somebody else to other people. We are all the others in a different country to other people. We pray for light and those who shine light, even at the risk of their own lives. We pray for empathy. What is frowned upon and looked down as if it were a waste of time. We pray for all those in positions of authority and power, where there are two possible ways of living that power: to self-gain and self-glory, or to serve others. We pray for the church universal, the church in this country, for the Old Town Partnership of Churches, for our own church, that our hosannas may be to the King of Peace. We pray for those we love and who love us, for those who have taught us who we can be, and for those who have corrected us on our mistakes. We pray for the joys of beauty in music, in art, in poetry, in good books, in flower arrangements, in so many different ways that touch the hearts of others in ways we could never, ever imagine. We pray for those who are struggling and suffering, for the sick in body, mind, spirit, that your healing love may reach to each and all of them, to those who suffer unknown to others. You know. For the lonely, for those that live in fear, for those who don't trust going back home, for those for whom work is suffering. And at this time in our prayer, O Lord, we ask you to hear the silent prayer of your gathered people. Truly, loving God, we would like to be agents of peace, sharers of light, beacons of hope. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But through your grace and through your love, as we have asked for forgiveness, as we have given thanks in our prayer for others, we pray, strengthen us, Lord, that what we say and how we say it may be words to your honor and to your glory. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew says in chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again from this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Our hymn for communion is hymn 453, a Fred Can arranged by the wonderful Doreen Potter. "Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Jesus lives, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound." Hymn 453. When you are fearful, to be made new in love. Come, when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. Come, when you are regretful, and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all. Among friends, gathered round the table, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "Take this, eat it. It is a reminder of my broken body. Do this in remembrance of me." And later, during the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new revelation of God made possible because of my death. Take it, all of you, and remember me. All of you who hunger and thirst for a better life, for a deeper faith, for a better world, here is the bread of life. Feed on it with gratitude. Here is the cup of salvation. Drink from it and believe. The gifts of God for the people of God." As we usually do, we receive the bread and hold until all have received so we can eat together. And then when the cup is distributed, we hold the cup until all have received so that all can drink at the same time. The bread that is broken is a reminder of the broken body of Jesus made whole in the resurrection. We eat in memory of him. And after they had eaten, the cup was distributed. There should be enough for all in the choir. the cup of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, from it. For the sharing of the bread and the cup, for learning, for correcting ways, make us new, that our light may shine in the world, through your grace and your love. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 224, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, Towering O'er the Wrecks of Time. You have been fed. You have shared the living bread. You have been grafted into the vine. You have tasted heaven's new wine. Go now, you have been blessed. Jesus called you each his guest. God knows your name and says you're wanted. And in your lives, God's seed is planted. Go now and go in Christ's own peace. And in your going, do not cease to love yourself. You are God's treasure. To love the world, it is God's pleasure. And love the Lord in greatest measure. Go in peace. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.
Could I just have a brief word, please? A fortnight today, the 27th of April, we will have the pleasure of Brian Elkington taking our service while Robert is in Highworth. Always a pleasure to have Brian with us, but on this occasion, it's a sad occasion as well, because it will be the last occasion on which he takes worship here at Emmanuel. In fact, I think, apart from a few services at Highworth, he will not be taking services anywhere else. And I think we can forgive him for that, having continued to lead worship all over the place well into his 90s. So I have here a card for us to sign. I'm going to take the card through to the chapel. Please, if you're happy to wait just a minute to sign the card for Brian, I'm sure he will be appreciative. Obviously, I want him to make this announcement after the recording finished, just in case he chooses to listen to this morning.